Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Sweet. This is Travis Johnson, the Nonprofit Architect, here today with Valley Adams. Valley, how are you doing today?
Great, Travis. Thanks so much. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fabulous. I'm here on location in my house in Oklahoma City. So excited to be back in the U.S. Unless you watch the news, and apparently this is the worst place on earth. But what can you do except for love yourself and love your neighbor? Hop on over to nonprofitarchitect.org. Check out our shows. Connect with our guests. Connect with me. Reach out to me if you're looking for coaching or something more specific. We've got mastermind projects underway that we're working on building right now. Connect with other nonprofits, roundtable some discussions, get some good valid learning. Hop on over there, see what's going on. Join our Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/nonprofitarchitect. Valley is the head of Edavel Solutions, and it was a long time national director of expansion for Best Buddies International. Could you tell us about those projects?
Sure, happy to. I have been a volunteer for Best Buddies International for over 20 years. It's an incredible global nonprofit designed to create one-to-one friendships, leadership development, integrated employment, and inclusive living for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It is a global nonprofit. They're in 54 countries around the world, and their presence is now in every state here in the U.S., and I was incredibly proud to work for them for 6 years and finish my role as an employee as the National Director of Expansion and Mission Advancement, which had me traveling to 22 states around the U.S. and really growing the mission of friendship and inclusion for individuals with and without IDD, which is intellectual and developmental disabilities, in 22 states. So that was great. It was an amazing project that I worked on. We were able to obviously grow the mission, grassroots efforts, start from the ground up, and just really create a global volunteer movement and the volunteer movement in those states to help bring the mission of friendship and inclusion to those states. Had great events, grew advisory boards, increased programs, and really just focus on creating social inclusion for people with disabilities. It was awesome. And so with that success, I decided to help many organizations. I wanted to branch out, be a female entrepreneur, and start my own consulting firm and still work nationally. I'm currently working still across the country with, of course, Best Buddies. They are my first and best client. And I'm working with other organizations too around the US and even in Canada now to help elevate their fundraising initiatives, enhance their events, and really engage their boards. And so that was the whole concept of Edavel Solutions, which Edavel is actually Elevate spelled backwards. So I wanted to be really creative with that and explain to people if you look at things a little differently, you can definitely see that Edavel Solutions will help you enhance your fundraising, engage your boards, and just elevate your organization as a nonprofit.
So. That's perfect. I love the progression. You go from having the desire to help and volunteering to actually becoming the director, National Director of Expansion, and then branching out even further to help more organizations be successful at what they're passionate about. And that's kind of like my story that everyone that listens to the show knows and loves so well. It is wonderful to see how that progression goes, but how did you, what does it look like to expand to a new state? Is there like new laws and requirements you have to follow? Do you have to file as a nonprofit in the new state when you move in? How does that work? What does that look like?
It depends on where your home office is based out of. And if it's one basic 501(c) blanket, or if you're going to have individual 501(c)s in each state. Best Buddies has one global 501(c), and we do file the licenses in the state. But for me, my role was going in and really just raising awareness and opening the door to the mission and finding people that connected with the mission and wanted to create and grow this volunteer movement. So it really was fully grassroots efforts of going into a state, finding a few people, talking to them, sharing the mission. Obviously, with this mission in particular, the connection is someone with or knows a family member with an intellectual and developmental disability, and connecting the dots for them and hearing the sad stories and the loneliness that exists in the population of those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And what they truly want is friendships, and what they truly need is to be included into society. And they also want jobs. They have incredible talents and abilities, and they not only deserve friendships and deserve to be included, but they want to be out into society and work alongside all of us and get a paycheck and have that experience to be able to share their gifts and talents. So going in and sharing this mission, quite honestly, it was such a positive experience, and it still is. I'm still, again, I'm working with Best Buddies this year. I'm working with them in Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kentucky, and really working on fostering and growing the mission and hosting some virtual events this year. And, you know, just again, sharing the mission with people. And we find that when you really focus on building those relationships and sharing the mission, you're able to grow what I call like an inclusion web. It just share, you know, it's that grassroots effort. And like, I tell this person, they tell the next person, they invite this person to hear about the mission. And then it grows, and then you build from there. You're laying your foundation, and you're building the relationships. You're getting the community involved. You're bringing such a positive message to the community, especially in times today. Everyone's looking for something positive, something to focus on the good and the happy. And seeing a student who was normally sitting alone at lunch all of a sudden have friends and they're not sitting alone, or someone that has an ability and they're hired by a bank because they've got incredible gifts and talents. But even though they have a disability, we're able to show, look, this is their ability. Let's not focus on the disability. Let's focus on the ability, what they can do. And that type of positive interaction with the community is just well received. So going into the community and finding the volunteers and the connections and the participants and their families, and knowing that you can change an entire community, one person, one school, one job and employer at a time, it's really powerful. It's very inspiring. So that part was easy. It was just really getting everyone to kind of rally together and build a movement and raise funds. Obviously, we all know that nonprofits and 501(c)(3)s, we have to survive by fundraising. And that is, I think, my greatest strength and my skill is where taking the mission and always leading with the mission first, and then getting the support through the community and the relationships built to fundraise just lets everything, you know, flow together and thrive. So
what does that look like for someone that they have their nonprofit and they want to branch out into the state? What does the step-by-step look like? Do they just show up with a sign on the side of the road saying looking for support? Do they contact organizations? Do you guys have organizations that you regularly go through to interact and meet people? What does that look like?
Well, again, Best Buddies is global, so it's not too difficult. I mean, Best Buddies is a sister organization of Special Olympics. There's definitely some connection of branding and marketing there. I would recommend to nonprofits that are looking to branch out into other states. Again, my motto has always been lead with your mission first. So what does that look like with your mission? Do you have connections in those states for your products and services? And honestly, I would recommend consulting with someone that can actually kind of lead the way and go in first and kind of do the research and make sure, you know, is this where you need to be? Is the desire for the services and the products that you're offering as an organization, is that there? Is the need there? I mean, even with Best Buddies, we have states that aren't as fluent as other states. Maybe the population isn't as large, or the IDD population isn't as large. And the economic status is different in different states. So all of those things need to be taken into consideration before you just go into a state and say, okay, hey, I'm here, let's open an office. I think just like any business, you kind of need to do your research and understand like the entire business model and set out a business plan and a strategic plan and model before you just kind of like show up with your sign. I mean, a sign is awesome too, but I think it's I think it's good to really have a strategic and a solid business plan in place.
I'm just picturing the sign like has nonprofit, will take your money.
We're here.
Now accepting donations. What do you do? Well, we haven't really figured that out yet, but we'll definitely take your money. No, that's good. I'm glad that you got to expand it, especially with a mission that's so powerful is helping people with IDD actually be heard and get friendships and grow into jobs and business. I've got a handful of friends and my wife's uncle with the same conditions, you know, and really they're just like people, just like everybody else, trying to make it and do good things in the world. Have changed some of your skill set throughout, and you actually became a licensed auctioneer. Like, why do that? Why is that helpful?
It's so funny. Whenever I'm on a call or in a meeting, and I do my introduction, and I share that, it always gets a little chuckle. Like everyone kind of looks and laughs a little bit. Just, you know, I'm a licensed auctioneer, and then of course the first question everyone asks is like, oh, can you do the call? Can you talk fast and all of these things? But that's not why I decided to become a licensed auctioneer. And I do think that it's pretty inspirational that there's not a lot of female auctioneers around the country or even here in Florida where I'm based. But I became a licensed auctioneer really for the nonprofit sector. So my specialty as an auctioneer is to be a fundraising and benefit auctioneer. So again, I truly believe that all nonprofits and organizations can really elevate their revenue and enhance it and grow their mission. And a lot of that is through events. And I think that having a licensed auctioneer and MC at your fundraising events, an auctioneer who is also a fundraising consultant and someone who's really spent the time to get to know you, your mission, your donors, your participants, your entire demographic, and truly knows and feels and understands your mission, that is someone who can really steer the ship of that event and really get to connect with the people in the audience and help you from A to Z, start to finish, put on a phenomenal event, help you with the crafting of the show flow of the event, the timing, as well as also help you build your auction, build a silent auction, build a live auction, and also, you know, offer a bid from the heart, which is a great opportunity at an event for organizations to raise money to help support their mission and their services. So that's why I became a licensed auctioneer. And I'm really excited now because, you know, listen, our times are changing. We know that there's been this word used all year, this pivot, right? We've all had to pivot. We've all had to kind of change directions, be creative, think outside of the box. And it's quite interesting because, you know, as a licensed auctioneer and my auctioneer team that I belong to here in Tampa, Florida is Alpert Enterprises. We are all learning together as well as all other licensed auctioneers around the country. You know, how do we take these events and make them virtual? Because we're not all able to be in the room together right now, 300, 400, 500 people and share gala experiences or event experiences together. So nonprofits still need to thrive and survive. And to do that, they still need to raise money for their mission so they can be who they are meant to be and serve the people that they're serving. So it's really fun to be able to work with different organizations and turn their events that were going to be in person into a really fun, engaging, and successful virtual fundraising event. So having a lot of fun with that.
I mean, it sounds like it. It sounds like you've got a lot going on and having quite a bit of success with it. What is the coolest thing that you've ever got to auction off?
Well, I'm a big travel person. So, and I haven't had the opportunity to take this trip yet, but we have this really awesome package it's a safari. in Africa, and it is awesome. And so I think that's really fun to auction that off. And the experience that it's provided to people that I know who have gone, it's incredible. So I think, like, again, just being able to do something and offer that and raise a lot of money for the nonprofit and for the organization, and be able to see the look on the family's face, like when they go and then they come back and they're taking two safaris a day. And that's pretty incredible. I mean, I'm sure there's been some other like really interesting things. There's also, you know, there's autographed memorabilia and, you know, just different things, but I'm a big vacation person. So I love when I can auction that off.
There's nothing wrong with loving travel. I think travel is something that in America we've kind of taken for granted. We call it a vacation, and we go to either relax or just, you know, cut loose. And travel has historically been part of the learning and growth process. You would go learn about a culture, experience new things, like going on a safari or, you know, going into the pyramids and going down and seeing the cultural differences and why it happened the way that it happened and what that means and how that fits into our world. And travel's been vital for so many generations that it's weird that in America, I mean, it's just like, hey, we're going to Disney World or we're going to the beach, and it has no real cultural significance other than, you know, we need to breathe. So that's pretty interesting.
It's fun. Great memories for people.
Yeah, you mentioned all these events you're doing. Do you buy into the fact that of event insurance for these things?
Than an event. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
Insurance. Do you get insurance for your events?
For the auctioneer or for the nonprofit?
Nonprofit fundraising events, things of that nature. We've got, you know, things that are scheduled and canceled now all the time, and people put a lot of money into their events. Do you recommend people get event insurance?
You know, I mean, I've heard like both sides of the story. I've heard some that have the insurance, and depending on their insurance, it doesn't always work out for them. But I've also heard those that do. And, you know, again, I feel like in the experience that I'm having right now in the virtual world and from the auctioneer perspective and also from the consultant perspective, I'm recommending that everyone move forward, like keep moving forward, keep one step in front of the other. And yes, if your event has to be canceled, what are some of the different options? Like, how can we pivot to continue to raise the funds needed for your revenue and for your success for the year? And I think that that's important for twofold. One, obviously for the revenue, but also for the mission itself, right? I think that if you have an event, and even if you have insurance and you cancel it and everything works out well, but how did you grow your mission that year? How did you increase your visibility of the services and the incredible opportunities that your mission provides, right? How did that, you know, how are you really going to embrace that? So insurance, if you have it and you use it and it works, great. But then you really need to think about how do you transition your mission, right? Transition the mission is really a big focus of mine that I've been working with other nonprofits and especially Best Buddies is, you know, how do you take what you offer and transition that to fit the times we're in and still continue to move forward as an organization? So for example, with Best Buddies, you know, they create friendships. So middle schools, high schools, colleges, one-to-one friendships between a student with a disability and a student without. They're matched, they meet, they form genuine friendships. So during this time of virtual world and quarantine and pandemic, what happens to these social friendships and these relationships? How do we transition that mission so that we can have friendships still happening? So that social distancing does not mean social isolation for our friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Well, we have to go virtual, right? So we're finding ways to take our programs and do virtual friendships and virtual leadership training and virtual job and employment and skills training. And so I'm encouraging all organizations, and I'm kind of consulting and coaching with them, what is your mission and how can we pivot it and still be able to take that mission and offer it virtually to keep your mission alive? Because, and I know you and I have talked about this too, if you look back in the days in the organizations in the 2008 when there, you know, was crisis and those organizations didn't fundraise and didn't progress and advance their mission, they're not here anymore. So I guess that's a long answer to that question, but I'm really passionate about helping nonprofits and organizations transition their mission virtually, really focusing on a fundraising world. How do we fundraise and stay alive during this time? How can you steer your virtual ships, stewardship, partnerships, friendships, relationships to help with your revenue? And really, how do you transition a successful virtual event from an in-person event? So those are the things that I'm really passionate about and working with organizations on.
In all the events that you've done, either in person or online, what are the elements to a successful event, in your opinion?
Well, virtual is going to be a little different than in person. Right now, we're coaching and sharing and working with organizations that there's three key elements for a virtual event. And what that is a great AV and production company to help you stream and have the cameras and the AV and the sound and everything that you need to go virtual. You need a mobile bidding company to help you mobily be able to accept money, highlight your silent auction, highlight your live auction. If you're going to do a bid from the heart, collect the money in that regard. And then third, someone to steer the ship and kind of line it up and present it. Virtual events are an hour or less. The successful ones are an hour or less. You're getting your mission out there. You're having your auctions and, you know, doing fun and engaging things, but in an hour or less. So to have that auctioneer and MC to kind of steer the event. Mm-hmm. Now, all this in mind, in person as well, which some events this year will be what we're calling a morphed event, which will be some people might be able to join in person, but they will still have a virtual concept and a virtual piece to the event. But overall, I would say the answer is in all of that, to have a successful event, you have to have your mission present, forefront all the time. You got to have relationships to develop that and bring people into the forefront. You got to have fun. And then obviously you got to fundraise. So to me, that would be the core key concept.
Got to have fun. As you say, you include fun things at your events. What kind of fun things? I know there's some listeners out there that have done an event and they did it all right or not all right, and they're not sure like what kind of areas they can let loose in, what fun might look like in an event.
Oh, wow. Obviously in person and virtual again, like we're kind of coming up with different ways virtually to have fun and kind of making that pivot. But there's always fun ways to just engage your donors. There's different raffles and different contests and different drawings you can do. We do a game called Last Man Standing with our Bid from the Heart. And so with a Bid from the Heart, you start at a higher number and you decrease. And Bid from the Heart basically is saying to your attendees and your donors and your friends and family, listen, you're going to leave tonight with a gift in your heart, knowing that you've helped support the mission of blank, and that you are not going to leave with a trip to Africa or a spa day or an awesome wine basket, but you're going to leave with a gift in your heart, knowing that you've made a difference, that you've supported this organization. And you start with a number and you go down. And so when you get to the $100 mark, it's really fun to say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen, $100 is a night out on the town for maybe you and your significant other or you and a friend. So for $100, we're going to play a game. We're going to play a game that you could walk away with a fun gift at the end. And we have a gift, you know, kind of prepared, a fun gift. Maybe it's a staycation or airline tickets. But the way it works, it's the last person that bids $100 wins the prize. And the more you bid, obviously you pay $100 each time. But then at the end, it's the last person. And so it's up to the auctioneer or the MC to kind of say, okay, 30 seconds, and then people raise their paddle or they'll go on their mobile bidding device and we're watching the screen virtually and we see, oh, no, Don Smith just donated $100. He beat out Mary. Like, she's not the last one. And so it just keeps going. It's very fun and it helps the organization raise a lot of money. I know once in Minnesota, when I did that event, our last man standing raised close to $12,000 at $100 a pop. So it was fun.
That's like 120 bids. Geez. Yeah. Well, that's gotta be awesome. It sounds like you not only have had great success, but you really enjoy what you're doing. And I think that makes all the difference in the world. Tell me, where can people get a hold of you?
Sure. People can get a hold of me at my Edivel Solutions website, which is www.edivelsolutions.com. And if you get confused on that, just type elevate backwards. So it's E-T-A-V-E-L-E and then solutions.com. And also, I will just do a little shout out that I'm going to be launching on July 13th. We're calling it a nonprofit professionals virtual or bust training cohort. And we're getting nonprofit professionals from around the world to join us for a 4-week session. And we're going to talk about all of those key virtual concepts that I talked a little bit about. It's going to be designed for nonprofit professionals who want to learn and explore ideas and share, gain resources on fundraising, event transition, and mission advancement facing our industry. And what I'm really excited about is that it will bring together a collaborative group of nonprofit professionals to really community build, to really build our community. One of the things we're going to offer with this is we're going to offer breakout rooms so that we're going to divide the groups into 5 each, and it will really create a networking and peer-to-peer opportunity to have discussion on the topic, of course, for that week, but also kind of get to know each other and share and collaborate together, building that team community piece. So I'm excited to launch that, and you'll be able to find that on my website. But yeah, I really do love what I do, and I'm really passionate about building relationships and helping elevate nonprofits, their revenue, their events, engage their boards, and even grow into new markets. I've had so much success and a really great, fun opportunity to grow Best Buddies throughout 22 states. And I'm totally open to helping other organizations elevate and grow their mission as well. And I'm very excited to do that. So,
well, thanks again, Valley. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.